He's a wonderful pastor.
Some of you know that Isabel and I have worshipped here about 6 years ago. We stayed for about a year or 9 months. And I can recall Ken Gill being a man of prayer and praying for each of us. And I remember him praying for us for some, forget what it was, but just to know that Ken prayed for all of us. And what's happened this week has actually stunned us. To see a brother in the Lord, a leader in our church, it is tragic. But I believe God has got a word of hope for us this morning. The world has this philosophy of life that life is cyclical. You know, it's there's birth and there's death, and you know, they just look at that in a philosophical way until death touches our lives and we realize this is not right. Death is an enemy. When I was 32 years of age, I had never experienced death, had never touched my life or people around me that I loved, until I got a phone call from a hospital in Glasgow, Scotland, telling me my father was facing death, a 56-year-old man. And for about 10 hours, I held it together. I flew over into Glasgow, I got off the plane, met my brother, and I stepped into the car, and I wanted to say something to him, and I burst into tears, and I says, "George, what are we going to do?" That's what happens when death comes and hits us. What are we going to do? And the reason that we struggle with death, we see it as an enemy, is because the Bible puts it this way. God says He put eternity in our hearts. God created us in His image, and God is eternal, and He made us eternal. We don't live this cyclical life. We live a linear life. It continues on for eternity. And we buy into the world's philosophy that it's just life, birth and death. That's not true. We are eternal beings. Death is an enemy. Death brings separation. The family and friends of Jesus who witnessed His horrendous and tragic death as a 33-year-old man were absolutely stunned and could completely identify with us this morning. They must have cried out in their hearts, "What are we going to do?" John records this, John 20, he says, "On the evening of that day, the first day of the week," this is Resurrection Day, "the doors were locked and the disciples were in fear of the Jews." They were struggling. All they could see was this enemy, death, facing them facing them face to face. Behind locked doors, they were gathered together, saying, "What are we going to do?" A husband and wife, Cleopas and his wife, when death struck their brother and their leader in this horrendous way, they said, "We've had enough of this." And they headed down the road, away from Jerusalem, away from the assembled believers. And that's what happens. Sometimes death does that to us. We say, "I've had enough of church." And we walk away from it. There's people like Thomas. He lost his faith because of the death of Jesus. He said, unless I see the hands and the marks of nails and place my finger in the marks of the nails and place my hand in his side, I'll never believe. He lost his faith. You know how many people have lost their faith because someone close to them, someone they loved, died in a tragic way? What about Peter? He spoke words that he should never have spoken. And he couldn't take them back. He denied Jesus. Many people have spoken words to someone they loved and then they've tragically been killed. And you say, I wish I'd never said that. You're full of sorrow and regret. You think, what am I going to do? Words spoken in the moment. But God has got a word of hope for us this morning. In the midst of the death of a brother and a leader in this tragic way, there is hope. It's the hope of the resurrection. Because Jesus defeated death. The writer of Hebrews puts it this way, that Jesus, through death, might destroy the one who had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver those who through the fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. Jesus took the very power that the devil had and used it against him. That's what was happening at the cross. It's the same story when David took Goliath's sword and killed Goliath with his own sword. That's what Jesus did at the cross. He took the power of death from the devil and used it against him. And there was victory at the cross. But what about those that were gathered in fear behind locked doors? The scriptures goes on to say that Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, peace with you. You see, in the midst of our grief and suffering, Jesus is there because he went through grief and suffering and he knows what you're going through right now. As one pastor prayed on Good Friday, he said, even in the thick darkness, God is there. And Jesus is here this morning, in spite of all this tragedy. And he's saying, peace be with you. There is a word of hope and peace this morning. He came to Cleopas and his wife as they were walking away from Jerusalem, going to Emmaus. He had given up on the church. And he drew alongside them and he didn't recognize him. He was just another stranger. That's how Jesus comes. And they invited him into the house. And when he broke bread, their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And it says, at that same hour, they returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them were gathered together. They went back to the church because they experienced the resurrection of Jesus. And Thomas was there. He thought, well, I'll give it one more try. And he came back to the church. And who was there? But Jesus. And he said, my Lord, my God. And Jesus said to him, Thomas, you have seen me and believed. But let me tell you this. Blessed are those who have not seen me and believed. And let me tell you this morning, you're more blessed than Thomas. What about Peter, the one who denied him? the one who spoke those words and couldn't take them back. In Mark chapter 16, verse 8, the angel said to the two women, they said, "Go and tell the disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him." Let me tell you that the resurrection is for everyone, but it's for each of us personally. He speaks your name. He spoke his name. He told Peter, "Tell Peter, it's all over. He's forgiven. I'll see him." After those experiences, John the disciple began to see the reality of what had happened. Just as Larry opened up with that scripture, Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." He's dealt with the issue of death. I have heroes in the faith. And when I was only 3 years of age, back in 1945, on April the 9th, my hero, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a 39-year-old pastor who loved Jesus, was taken out that early morning and hanged by the Nazis. Years earlier, he spoke in a church in London, England, and he said these words, that life only really begins when it ends here on earth. And in Flossenbürg, Germany, as he stepped out of that prison cell and faced the hangman, he turned to his fellow prisoner and he said, "This is the end. For me, it's the beginning. This is just the beginning." That's what the resurrection means to us in the face of death. I end with these words that are spoken to the church, spoken to us this morning. We are not to grieve, brothers and sisters, like those who have no hope. We have hope. Why? Because the dead in Christ will rise first. Ken Gill will rise before all of us. Then we who are alive and are left will be caught up together with Ken. And we'll be with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. You see, at a time like this, the powerless words that we use are three words: "I'm sorry." They are replaced by the other three words: "He is risen." That's our hope for today. The Lord bless you.